Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slidekick.
Yarr!
Today is September 1st, 2014, and this is episode 62, PAX Prime 2014 / Sony Pre-Tokyo Game Show Conference. Welcome again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
As you probably gathered from our title, this week we're going to be talking about PAX Prime and some of the announcements that Sony made early this morning at their pre-Tokyo Game Show conference. So buckle in and get ready for that, but first we have our usual assortment of follow-ups and news bits. Slaggy McWaggy, if you'd like to get us started here with our first follow-up.
Yes, so we're very excited to report that the GamerX organization has launched a Kickstarter for GX3, Everyone Games, which is the
Woo-hoo!
New iteration of the GamerX conference. Kind of, you know, as we discussed on our GamerX episode, their goal for any future conferences was to kind of open it up, or, you know, show that it really wasn't limited to LGBT issues and individuals. So I support the name change. You know, they're very adamant about saying that, you know, they're still GamerX, they're still proud to be gay, but they really wanted to reiterate that the convention's a safe space for any type of gamer who, you know, might not feel included in the quote-unquote gaming culture.
And, you know, something that I was really happy to see when they were doing the initial press for this is, you know, they specifically had cited that they wanted to be, you know, sort of representative and a safe space for, you know, gamers of color, women gamers, gamers all along the LGBT spectrum, rather than just focusing on the word gay. And another group that is often marginalized in gaming that they specifically cited that I've talked about here on the show, I think it's actually really important, is they also wanted to be inclusive to differently abled gamers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of value in that. I think this is a great step forward for the convention. In our GamerX episode, I think I even said I hope that they change the convention to more being themed along Everyone Games.
Yeah, I think it's a very natural evolution. And, you know, it's really heartening to see that Blizzard Entertainment put about $10,000, I think. And we had mentioned, you know, a couple of the indie developers who had pledged $3,000 apiece.
And not just a couple anymore. There's a whole list of like 10 different indie devs / indie studios that have pledged $3,000 each.
Yeah, and I mean, it's very clear from the presentation of this campaign that, you know, they've really put a lot of thought into it and really reflected. I mean, they really were, you know, open. Not that they were open about the finances before, but they were saying, like, here's, you know, from running this for the past 2 years, here's what finances are. You know, we're not going to lock down a venue until we know. So, I mean, I can tell that they're really taking what they've learned and, you know, trying to make it more sustainable, which is good. And I hope that that experience will allow them to continue yearly.
I absolutely, absolutely agree. What we know about the event so far is that they are going to stay in the San Francisco Bay Area. They're currently looking at the 2015 sort of like quarter three or quarter four window.
Yeah.
You know, I've specifically heard people cite August 11th through 13th in 2015. I've also heard some discussion of maybe doing it in November or December based on, you know, airfare rates or cost of renting a convention hall. So, you know, a lot of stuff is still in the air. In any event, there's a Kickstarter currently going for this. You know, last I checked, they were at 75% funded. And I think it's absolutely worth looking into, especially if you want to actually go to this event. Don't be afraid to kickstart this. It's a really valuable show. We've talked here on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
About how valuable this space is and how valuable this event is. And, you know, I've certainly heard from a lot of you out there over on, you know, via Twitter and, you know, Facebook, etc. You know, that a lot of people who wanted to go didn't go for whatever reason. Well, I think this is your chance to make good on that. So
yeah,
I definitely recommend you check it out. We also have news here based on some word that came in a few weeks ago. Twitch has in fact been bought for just shy of $1
billion. $1
billion. The catch here, of course, is, you know, that we were all expecting this to be Google / YouTube buying Twitch, when in fact it was actually Amazon.
LOL.
And, you know, something that's really interesting about this is that people sort of behind the scenes have said that the YouTube / Google money was on the table, but between YouTube and Twitch, there was some concern within Google that they would have a monopoly on video streaming at that point, and that they might come, you know, under some fire for that. And apparently, as soon as Amazon sensed that there was some friction there, they came in with an offer of their own, and ultimately that's what Twitch took.
Yeah, so we'll see how that turns out. I haven't done a lot of Twitch streaming, so I can't really, you know, it's hard for me to really have too much of an emotional response to it, which I guess is good because we're reporting news.
Well, Amazon, you know, already has all kinds of web hosting, servers up the wazoo. I'm sure from a technical standpoint, this isn't going to change much in a bad way. I actually think that service might get a little better. So I think this is probably a good move.
Yeah.
We also had some really stupendous news here. Nintendo announced the first DLC for Mario Kart 8.
Woohoo!
And I should probably state, I do mean the first real DLC, not just, you know, that
the
promotional Mercedes advertisement DLC. So, in any event, the first pack is going to be called Zelda Cross Mario Kart 8. It's going to be available in November 2014 for the North American price of $7.99. This pack is going to include the playable characters Link, Tanuki Mario, and Cat Peach, as well as four new vehicles, one of which we know to be the Blue Falcon from F-Zero, and eight tracks to race on, which is going to make up two cups that you will be able to play in Grand Prix mode.
Yes!
One of the cups is themed with a Triforce, and the other is a Yoshi Egg. We don't know much about what these tracks themselves are going to be, but in the promotional images provided by Nintendo, which you can see over on Joystick, a link to which we will post over at GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org.
The images seem to indicate that there is going to be an F-Zero track and an Excitebike track.
Cool. I might have to use a bike on the Excitebike track.
Right? There's also going to be a second pack that's going to launch in May of 2015, also for $7.99, and that is going to be Animal Crossing Cross Mario Kart 8, which is going to have the characters Isabelle, a villager, and Dry Bowser. It's also going to have four vehicles, although we don't currently know the identity of any of them, and eight tracks, although we don't know what any of those tracks are going to be, aside from at least one Animal Crossing-themed track.
I am a fan.
You can currently pre-purchase both of these packs on the Wii U eShop for $12.
Yeah, Nintendo doing DLC right.
Dude, right? Like, that is so much content. That's 16 new tracks, 6 new characters, and 8 new vehicles for $12.
Not to mention, if you buy now, you'll get bonus colors of Yoshi and Shy Guy.
Yep,
immediately
absolutely.
For use.
Both Yoshi and Shy Guy will receive 8 new colors when you select them in-game. Overall, it is a tremendous value, and, you know, I really think this speaks highly to what kind of DLC efforts we can expect to see in future Nintendo products. Slaggy, I know this next one is one you've been talking about a lot. Do you want to cover this?
Yeah, so we talked about the exciting, shocking, lightning shock Pokemon reveal that was going to be happening, and that turned out to be Pokken Tournament, which, you know, originally was under the name Pokken Fighters. The interesting thing that was revealed during the Niku Niku livestream is that this is going to be for Japanese arcades in 2015. Now, I would expect a Wii U console release at some point, but, you know, it's very interesting that we saw this as an arcade title. I did not expect that, even though, I mean, it makes sense. Tekken.
I actually would have been shocked if there hadn't been an arcade release of this game. So this, to me, is a very good thing. You know, Namco Bandai, when they do Tekken games, the arcade release is almost like treated like a beta. A lot of the balancing and a lot of the revisions often come from feedback on the initial arcade release.
Yeah, this, of course, is going to be made with partnership from Bandai Namco. And what's interesting is not only is Harada-san from Tekken involved, but Masaki Hoshino-san from Soul Calibur is also involved. So it's not just Tekken, Tekken, Tekken.
Well, and I would have to say, you know, even though I do expect the game to take more of a Tekken tack, I expect that the Soul Calibur staff are probably the ones doing the real grunt work, and Harada-san is probably more of like an advisory role, because, you know, he has his hands full with Tekken 7, and also a Project Morpheus game that we're going to talk about a little bit later.
Oh, right, yeah.
So he's probably really just advising that team. And, you know, it does fit when you take the Soul Calibur angle into consideration a little bit, because Namco Bando. Gosh darn it. Namco Bandai Namco has said that they expect this to be more akin to a traditional fighting game rather than, you know, like a Tekken. So do expect super moves and projectile throws and all that stuff.
Nice.
We also have news here that Margaret from Persona is going to be paid DLC for Persona 4 Arena Ultimax. Margaret is going to be available for download 1 week after Persona 4 Arena Ultimax's release on September 30th. I knew you'd be excited about that.
Yeah, I love Margaret. Are you kidding? So we've talked about Terra Battle, which is the upcoming smartphone game from Sakaguchi-san over at Mistwalker. Now, what's interesting is that he said that if 2 million people download it on smartphones, it will come to consoles. It's kind of he Famitsu termed it a download starter, where there'll be stretch goals based on the number of downloads. At 100,000 downloads, Uematsu-san will add new songs. 200,000 downloads, there'll be new characters by Hideo Minaba-san. 300,000 downloads is an in-game appearance by manga artist Nakaba Suzuki. A million downloads is a concert for Terra Battle. 1,400,000 is commencement of figure production. And then at 2 million is the console version of Terra Battle.
And you know, while these were the initially announced download starter goals, there are actually a few new tiers. I'm not going to bother too much with most of them, but the one I really want to call out is that at that 1.4 million download mark, in addition to commencing figurine production, they're then also going to have a new scenario written by Yasumi Matsuno-san.
Oh, hey.
Right? You know, we're big fans of Yasumi Matsuno here at GameBuie.
GameBuie.org.
You're probably familiar with his work from Vagrant Story, Final Fantasy Tactics, Ogre Battle, Final Fantasy 12.
So basically all of the classic and a little bit like Renaissance-inspired Square Enix stuff.
Yeah, so I'm very excited. I definitely hope 1.4 million people download Terra Battle. It is going to be a free-to-play game, and it launches worldwide in October for smartphones.
Excellent. That kind of makes me want to download it.
Excellent. You know, we talked a little bit about Yakuza 0, or Ryuga Gotoku 0, last week here on the show. We have a little bit more information on this project now. It is going to be set in December of 1988 as a direct prequel to the first Ryuga Gotoku game. You know, we don't really know a ton about the game even still. We just know that Kazuma Kiryu at the time of this game is going to be, you know, a 20-year-old part-time debt collector, you know, who is going to be hired out by the Yakuza to sort of, you know, rough people up for money. We don't know what ultimately the narrative arc for Kiryu-san is going to be, but I'm very excited. Hopefully this game will cross over to the U.S. You know, I feel like we say that about every Ryuga Gotoku game. But at least in this case, this is a new entry that sort of starts at the beginning. It would be a great entry point for a lot of gamers. Yakuza 0 is currently in development for PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4.
Oh, and you didn't mention the other protagonist that's going to be featured.
Oh, yeah?
That's Goro Majima-san. I don't know if calling him San is correct.
Yeah, and Goro was in other games in the series as well, so, you know, that is interesting.
I wonder if they'll do gay stuff.
You would. We also have news here of a downloadable expansion for the most recent 3DS iteration of the Taiko no Tetsujin series. That is, of course, Taiko no Tetsujin, Danenkatsu's Great Space-Time Adventure.
Why don't these games come out over here?
Right. This is going to be a 500 yen expansion, so, you know, like $4.90 or something. It's going to include the theme song from Lupin the Third, 78, the theme song from Detective Conan, the theme song from the current series of the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure anime, as well as a Bandai Namco original called Black Rose Apostle, as well as a classical music song in German whose name I literally cannot pronounce. So
Eine
go for it, Slack.
Nachmusik.
Excellent. It's also going to add extra quests for the game's quest mode. That will be available. That actually is available now for Japanese 3DS owners.
That was a Mozart song, dude.
No, I know that it's a classical song. I just can't do German pronunciation.
I know, but it's specifically Mozart.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've heard it. I know the song. I just can't say the name of it.
Eine kleine Nachtmusik. I'm probably saying it wrong, and offensively.
We also have word here that Intik Creates and Keiji Inafune-san are planning to do Mighty Gunvolt DLC. Now, you may recall we had talked last week about Mighty Gunvolt. This is the free 8-bit style 3DS game that comes along with Azure Striker Gunvolt when you buy it on the eShop, featuring Gunvolt himself, Beck from Mighty No. 9, and Galgun's Ekoro. And basically, Intik Creates staff and Concept staff are working on downloadable content based both on Gunvolt and on Mighty No. 9. So this is definitely something to look forward to if you like 8-bit style games, which, you know, obviously we here at GameBuoy certainly do. Slaggy, you have anything to say about that?
No, I have not yet played either Gunvolts, so I'm really excited to.
Excellent, excellent.
And speaking of awesome platformers, Shantae Half-Genie Hero has hit another stretch goal, and will now have three more playable characters, Rachitop, Bolo, and Sky. Each have their own story and abilities. This was for the $900,000 stretch goal.
Excellent, excellent. We also have word here, coming out of Blizzard, per an interview with the New Zealand game website Game Planet, that Blizzard isn't just wrapping up work on Warlords of Draenor right now. They're actually already elbow deep in the next expansion after that. Apparently, they're already in the middle of zone design for the next expansion after Warlords of Draenor, which comes out November 13th.
Oh, good.
Something that's kind of interesting, you know, is that there's actually a BlizzCon like a week before that. And a lot of people were wondering, you know, what are they going to talk about with WoW if the expansion comes out like a week after BlizzCon? Because, you know, typically BlizzCon is more about what they're going to be doing over the next year, year and a half, rather than just what are we doing next week.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if BlizzCon focuses on like a new StarCraft 2 expansion.
You know, again, the point really isn't what are they going to focus on in general, because I think really Hearthstone and Heroes of the Storm are going to be the big focuses.
Oh, good point.
But in terms of the WoW corner, you know, they're not just going to have a BlizzCon and not talk about new WoW stuff. And previously, a lot of people thought that we'd probably get themes for you know, the next raid tier, and maybe even the next two raid tiers of Warlords of Draenor. I almost expect we might get hints about where they're going further than that, even, if they're already elbow-deep in working on this stuff.
Yeah. The community over at WoW Insider in the comments had some ideas. They said in patch 6.0, there's going to be no flying. In patch 7.0, the ground mounts will revert to 60% speed. 8.0 will have no riding at all. 9.0 will have no running. You have to walk. In 10.0, you can no longer move. The entirety of the game consists of waves of enemies slowly coming towards you.
So that's obviously a mixture of two different things. You know, something else that was in that article that we didn't mention was that they also claim to have ideas for the next 10 years/6 expansions of World of Warcraft. And in addition to that, the fan community still has a lot of qualms with the fact that in the new expansion of WoW, there will be no flying on the new continent.
Except not even
when you get to max level, there will never be flying in that content.
Oh, that must have been like a newer.
No, that has been the party line all along. No
really?
Flying at any point. Yep.
Oh, I thought that they were gonna.
They have said that they will consider patching that into a later patch if people really do seem very upset by it after experiencing it.
Mm.
But they want people to experience it before they're even going to consider people's protests. I think that's a little backwards, but I can appreciate where they're coming.
Yeah.
We also have news here that Final Fantasy Explorers is going to have an exclusive quest for first, like the first print run of the game. So the first print bonus is going to be a special quest where you can get Onion Knight equipment based on Final Fantasy III.
I'd rather have Onion Ring equipment.
That'll be...
Oh, does the Onion Knight have an Onion Ring?
That will be the Onion Sword, the Onion Helm, the Onion Armor, and the Onion Boots. Sadly, there does not appear to be an Onion Ring.
Missed opportunity.
We also have news here that Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy Curtain Call is getting even more DLC in Japan.
How about that?
This time we have 5 songs. Each one will be sold for 150 yen, and we're looking at Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, Battle in the Forgotten City, Final Fantasy VII Rufus's Welcoming Ceremony, Final Fantasy VIII's The Oath, Final Fantasy XI's Iron Colossus, and Final Fantasy XII's The Phone Coast.
Very cool.
Yeah, I think that's very exciting. This is the 10th round of DLC for this game.
Wow.
So there's a lot of content at this point.
Yeah, and assuming that's all made available at the Western launch of this game, then, you know, there'll be a very healthy amount of DLC available.
I don't believe that will happen. You know, with the first Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy game, even though this stuff started up, the DLC stuff started up in advance of the US release, we were still on the same release schedule relative to the Japanese release schedule.
Bummer.
Yeah, it is what it is. We also have news here that Dragon Age Inquisition is going to have a 4-player co-op mode.
Yes!
This is going to be separate from the campaign, but it will, again, be sort of similar in some respects to the Mass Effect multiplayer, but, you know, expanded a little bit. So you'll have your characters, you know, that you'll have over in your multiplayer mode, and you'll run basically like these little mini multiplayer scenarios where you'll run through almost like a full sort of, you know, area from the main game that you're just playing multiplayer.
What I think is really cool is that they're, randomly generated dungeons. And so that kind of makes me think almost like of a Diablo sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, they have said that there will be a loot focus when running this in multiplayer. So that'll be really cool.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people would have liked to see something more like this on Mass Effect 3, even though I really enjoyed their multiplayer a lot.
You know, I think that Mass Effect 3 multiplayer made a lot of sense for where they were in production. And you know, it was sort of the first BioWare sort of multiplayer experience in that context, so I think it made sense, and I think that this is a really great expansion of those ideas.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it. I just realized we'll have to coordinate what consoles we're going to be playing on PS4.
PC.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess I've got to get a gaming PC now.
Console, LOL.
Anyway, on our next follow-up, the open beta for Deep Town from Capcom has been pushed back to 2015. They need more time to test things out before launching the public beta. This was originally supposed to be coming out this year in February when the PS4 launched, and so it's already been pushed back. But they have shown some new footage. Remember, this is the free-to-play online RPG where you have all sorts of enemies that you're fighting. So, you know, hopefully Capcom will, you know, do good work on this and that the delay won't be in vain.
Excellent. We also have news here that Saints Row 4 is getting a port to the Xbox One and PS4.
Fantastic.
This is going to be Saints Row 4 Reelected, available on January 27th.
It'll retail for $29.99.
We also have word that the expansion pack content for Fantasy Life will be available in North America on October 24th when the game releases.
Yay!
This is the Origin Island content from the Japanese release, which was also included in the Japanese re-release of Fantasy Life, which was called Fantasy Life Link. So, you know, this is really cool. We're basically, much like with, you know, Monster Hunter 4, where we're only getting the ultimate version of the game, that's also happening with Fantasy Life. So this is very, very exciting, and I cannot wait for Fantasy Life to come out on October 24th.
Me either.
We also have the release information, well, not all of it, because we don't know a date, but we now have the cost and lineup of the first wave of Amiibo.
Yay!
So, you know, that's actually very exciting to me, certainly. The first figures that are available, and these are already up for pre-order on such places as Amazon, the first wave is going to be Mario, Peach, Link, Samus, Yoshi, Donkey Kong, Pikachu, Kirby, Fox, Marth, Villager, and Wii Fit Trainer. With more on the way in the future, of course.
Nice.
So, I'm really stoked about that. And something else I'm really stoked about is that Marth, Villager, and Wii Fit Trainer are all already completely pre-sold out on Amazon.com.
Wow. Amazon.com. So. Oh, wait, we don't do that for them.
Right. So, you know, even though it kind of sucks because Marth is the closest thing I have to a main in this first lineup, so that's the figure I wanted the most, I am definitely very, very excited to see that people appear to be eating this stuff up. Obviously, I want this product line to be very big. I want it to be super successful. I want Nintendo to make money, and I want enough of these things to sell that there is a real incentive for Nintendo to continue supporting them. Of course, for those of you who don't recall, supposedly Amiibo will be supported in Mario Kart 8, Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker, Mario Party 10, and Yoshi's Woolly World.
Yay.
We also have word here from one of Nintendo's managers who put up a talk about Unity 2014, being, you know, functionalities for the Wii U. He referenced Gone Home as a game coming to the Wii U. So, you know, that's obviously something really cool. We are huge fans and supporters of Gone Home here at GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org!
So it's just really cool to hear about this content coming to the Wii U. In a follow-up that we haven't talked about in a little while, you may recall the 2D fighting game Dengeki Bunko Fighting Climax.
I really wanted to say that.
This is, of course, the crossover fighting game with characters from various Dengeki Bunko, you know, novels and manga. When the home release version releases on November 13th for PS3 and Vita, the arcade version's end boss, which is Akira from Virtua Fighter, will be a playable character, along with a new support character in the form of Pai Chan, also from Virtua Fighter. So far, these are the only two Sega characters in this game, although strangely, there are several Sega-themed levels, including a Sonic the Hedgehog stage.
Cool. In other cool news, Peggle is finally making his way to the PS4. That'll be on October 14th.
Excellent. You know, this is something that I know a lot of non-Xbone owners have been asking about. You know, when am I going to get to play this damn game? And apparently now the answer is October 14th. So, you know, please look forward to that. And we also have news here that Titanfall has a new update. And this new update adds an entire new game mode. This is an 8-versus-8-man team combat with no robots, called the Pilot Skirmish. This sort of changes the game to be an experience more along the lines of a Halo or Call of Duty. So, you know, that's something I think that there's a real interest in, even though I personally think the robots are kind of half the fun. But, you know, whatever. I can appreciate that if people want this content, I think it's a great thing that it's getting pushed out there.
Indeed.
We also have here a whole slew of release date data for you. Platinum Games' Legend of Korra adaptation will be available on October 21st for PSN and PC, and October 22nd on the Xbox Marketplace.
The Gauntlet reboot is coming out on September 23rd. It was originally scheduled for September 3rd, so you'll have to wait a few more weeks. So if any wizards out there need Gauntlet badly, you'll have to wait a little.
We also have news here that Mega Man X4 and Mega Man X5 are both coming to the PlayStation 3 and Vita platforms as PlayStation 1 classics next month in North America.
LEGO Batman 3 Beyond Gotham will hit on November 11th, Veterans Day. It'll be available on Xbox One, Xbox 360, PS4, PSV, Vita, Wii U, PS3DS, and PC.
Excellent! We also have news here that Costume Quest 2 will be hitting Steam on October 7th.
Adorable!
And last, but certainly not least, Bayonetta 2 will be releasing on the Wii U in North America on October
24th. Yes! Happy Halloween, Mitches!
And you know, something that we've been trying to do here on the show is sort of do all of our Smash Brothers news at the end of our follow-ups, and that's where we're at now. So we have a handful of Smash Brothers news here. The first is that there will be a spectator mode in the 3DS version of Super Smash Brothers. You'll be able to watch either, you know, online, and not only will you be able to watch people fight online without participating, you'll actually be able to bet in-game currency on who's going to win.
Like, yeah, man, I bet Hungrybox is gonna slay.
Dude, I wasn't even tripping off that. If I can watch Mango or Hungrybox or any of the pros play, like, non-televised games, but just watch them on my console, that would be awesome. I'd be so into that.
Right?
So, that's something I'm really excited about. You know, there is going to be a big focus on the in-game currency this time around, with, you know, the increased number of trophies and everything, so potentially watching games and betting on them could be a very lucrative way to sort of see all of those trophies and get to all that content a little faster. We also have news here that, you know, we previously talked about how the classic mode in Smash Brothers was going to have a difficulty slider similar to the one that Masahiro Sakurai-san included in Kid Icarus Uprising. You know, where you increase the difficulty, but you get better rewards as a result. Well, apparently, the higher the difficulty in your game will actually make a lot of smaller changes as well, as it's called the intensity meter. As you fight harder battles and get more, you know, rewards, you're also going to see different outcomes happen on the route map. So maybe you'll only be able to fight some bosses on certain intensities, and certainly Sakurai-san has hinted, quote-unquote, looks like Master Hand is waiting at the end, but perhaps something might change if you raise the intensity?
Say what?
So I definitely think that'll also be where at least one new character unlocks. Since Sakurai-san likes to be real tricky about that. We also have word of a new character. Xenoblade's Shulk has been confirmed for Super Smash Bros. In a trailer that was shown at a surprise Nintendo Direct last week. We will be talking about that Nintendo Direct in just a minute, but real quick, let's finish up with the Smash Bros. News. A day later from that, we also got a new assist trophy announcement in the form of Xenoblade's character Riki. And last, but certainly not least, we have word that if you buy Smash Bros. 3DS and Smash Bros. Wii U and register them with Club Nintendo, you will get a set of soundtrack CDs.
Yes!
So, that is something to definitely look forward to. Slaggy, unless you have any other follow-ups, I think it's time to move on.
Nope, let's get started with our...
News.
Oh my god, news.
So, as you may recall, a few minutes ago, we had mentioned that there was a surprise Nintendo Direct on August 29th. What nobody expected was that Nintendo has announced a new model of the 3DS line. And this is the new 3DS line. It's going to have a new 3DS and a new 3DS LL, which, you know, is what we consider the XL. The new 3DS has a screen size that is 1.2 times larger than the regular 3DS, and on a superficial level, also has colorful buttons based on the buttons color scheme of Super Famicom controllers.
I love it.
It also adds a small joystick, like a little analog super nubbin, on the right side of the new 3DS that is being called the C-Stick, which obviously is based on the GameCube's C-Stick. It's also going to have apparently a pretty hefty increase both in processor, clock speed, video RAM, and system RAM, as well as using some weird system of higher quality 3D screens and eye tracking in, the camera software, to make for an optimal 3D viewing experience that should supposedly have an extremely wide viewing angle and automatically adjust so that you're not getting all stressed out your eyes all the time.
That's exciting.
And, it's also going to use micro SD cards rather than standard SD cards, as well as it will have a feature that will allow you to transfer media files directly to and from your PC, as well as backup, saves and stuff that way, by connecting wirelessly over your network at home, rather than the current implementation of having to do everything by hand using SD cards.
Yeah.
And last but not least, it's also adding the ZR and ZL buttons from the Circle Pad Pro and Wii U controller. So, this is actually really exciting. This is going to be releasing in Japan on October 11, 2014. The new 3DS is going to be 16,000 yen, and the new 3DS LL is going to be 18,800 yen. Respectively, you're looking at, $155 and, $180. So, that's pretty reasonable price.
I agree.
I'm interested in this. We do know for fact that there are going to be a small handful of games that are made to take advantage of the higher, technical specs. This is very similar to what we saw happen with the original DS line when the DSi came out.
Right.
And you may recall that was actually almost like a precursor to the 3DS in that it had a frontward facing camera, it had a camera on the back, it had internal storage and used SD cards, it had access to the Nintendo Online DSiWare shop,
mm-hmm.
which was obviously a precursor to the eShop. So it's sort of interesting that, you know, we're seeing this sort of half step to the next portable console from Nintendo. I had previously thought that we would see sort of the next console coming out of Nintendo in 2015, but now I think it'll be more like 2016. I think we're going to have this new 3DS for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's exciting. No release information has been announced for North America or the EU territories, but they are expected in 2015. Good. Slaggy, what do you think about this?
I'm going to pick one up. I mean, you know, at first, and before I realized that they were actually more like a DSi, I think a lot of people are going to have issue with the name. I've already seen some articles written about it, but
you know, I'm definitely something here for that it. A lot of people are dropping the ball on is that it's called the new 3DS in Japan, where the word "new" in this instance as their name is the English word "new," and so you know you wouldn't have a naming convention where someone is like, oh, have you gotten the new 3DS? Like, in Japan, new in that context would be the Japanese word for new. And if they're talking about the new 3DS, they would be talking about, have you gotten the new 3DS?
So instead of Shin 3DS, it would be like, new 3DS.
Yeah. So, like, a lot of the naming problems people have are just based on the assumption that it will release everywhere as new 3DS. But until we hear that, I'm not convinced. And that naming stumble isn't something that would happen in Japan, because, again, you know, that's just not... New isn't the Japanese word for new, but it is the name of the new 3DS from Nintendo.
Yeah, but otherwise I'm definitely here for it. I'm probably going to get the new 3DS as opposed to the new 3DS LL. It's because I already have an XL.
Well, and you know something else I didn't mention because I was trying to burn through this real quick because, I mean, we could probably do a whole episode on this announcement, frankly. But the new 3DS is going to have interchangeable faceplates.
Yes.
Whereas all of the sort of premier, very nice, premium, like special edition devices so far appear to be new 3DS LL/XL devices.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely something a little interesting there. So your reasoning is that you already have an XL, so you would rather go back to the smaller one?
Yeah, just to have a different form factor. And also because of the faceplates, I really, like, think that'll be cute. And, you know, for all the times we were like, oh, look at that cute new limited edition 3DS. Now we'll just be able to buy faceplates.
Makes sense. All right, well, let's hope that they keep making faceplates. You know, it's hard for me. You know, I sort of like to fancy myself as a games historian on some level. And I can't help but look and see sort of what Nintendo did with the Game Boy Micro, which is that had faceplate capability, but they never really did anything with it. Pretty much only, like, super off-brand faceplates were ever made available, with a few small exceptions in Japan, except most of those cool faceplates in Japan were, like, bonus items from buying, like, a limited edition new console.
Oh.
Like, there was a really great Yoshitaka Amano faceplate for Final Fantasy IV Advance, which only came with the Final Fantasy IV Advance Game Boy Micro package.
Oh.
And so I see a lot of people really excited about the faceplate stuff, and it's like, oh, did you use faceplates on your 360? Because that had faceplates too. And most people are like, no, but that doesn't count, but I think it does. I'm not going to base my purchasing decision on the faceplate thing, even though it is tempting. I'm going to see, hopefully they'll release a cool limited edition XL.
New XL,
yes.
New LL.
Well, I'm talking about for the domestic release. I'm hoping that they'll do a cool new XL. And, you know, because the Japanese one is launching with a couple of limited editions.
Right.
We'll
and
be
you
talking
don't
about
have
them
an
in
XL
a second.
Right now, so.
No, I don't have an XL. And it's worth mentioning, the new 3DS has a larger screen than the original 3DS. And the new LL has a larger screen than the original LL. So in both cases, it's yet another bigger screen. And, you know, there is a part of me that's really tempted by that. I've talked a lot here on the show about how starting to look at an XL upgrade, so it's probably time with this announcement.
Yeah.
You know, we had mentioned a second ago how there was going to be a handful of new exclusive new 3DS games, and we have the first one announced. This is a port of Xenoblade Chronicles.
What?
Yeah. It's apparently something at Nintendo that they've wanted to do for a while now, but they were completely unable to even scale the game down to run on 3DS. You know, the game is just too big for, you know, that RAM and CPU power set of limitations, I guess you could say. And to be fair, you know, Xenoblade, those, we probably have a lot of Game Boy listeners who have played it. It's a gigantic game. So big. So I can see how they would have had some troubles with that. And I think this is really cool, you know, with Xenoblade Chronicles Cross, or, you know, X as we used to know it, coming up for the Wii U next year. Shulk is a playable character in Smash Brothers. There's definitely a real value to Nintendo, I can see, in making sure people have played Xenoblade Chronicles. So it makes absolute sense to me for them to be doing a port of that. And while I had hoped for an HD remaster for Wii U, I'll definitely take this.
Yeah.
We also have word about these two limited edition new 3DS LLs. The first is Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate. Of course it is. With, you know, one of the most sexy game handheld gaming devices I've ever seen, it has a brushed metal aesthetic along with a Monster Hunter insignia. I think it looks classy as hell. You know, I sometimes talk here on the show about how my favorite limited edition 3DSs so far have been the ones that look real couture and very fashionable. And to me, this Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, or I'm sorry, Monster Hunter 4G, new 3DS LL, it looks classy as hell. I'd be proud to pull it out on, like, the train and show off, like, I have this cool-ass pimp-looking device. That's going to be releasing on October 11th, which is the official release date of the new 3DS line, which is also the same date as Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate/G releases in Japan.
Nice.
Nintendo also pointed out with this announcement that both Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate and Final Fantasy Explorers are both going to take full advantage of the new 3DS's second analog stick and additional buttons. So apparently they have, you know, both Square Enix and Capcom have been in on the new 3DS line, you know, from the ground floor. There is also going to be a Super Smash Bros. New 3DS LL model, which is going to come out in November, which is, you know, obviously about 2 months after the game comes out in Japan, but I assume they're trying to get those end-of-the-year holiday sales with that November release. So that's definitely something to look forward to. I'm not super into the art that's on it. It looks a little basic. It looks like a gamer skin that you would get on some, like, website that prints your own art on, like, latex for you to apply to your console. Or vinyl, I'm sorry. But whatever, you know, it is what it is. I'm not super excited for it, but I do love that Monster Hunter 4 one. Anyway, Saiki, I know you wanted to move on. Why don't you take this next one?
Yeah, for those of us in North America, we will be getting three new Mario Kart 7 2DS bundles. They will come in three different colors, electric blue, crimson red, or sea green, and it's a download voucher for Mario Kart 7 that's included. What's notable is that this will be at the same price as the standalone 2DS. So if you were curious about getting a 2DS, you don't have Mario Kart 7 yet, this is a good deal. This will be available early in October.
Excellent. We also have news here that the 3DS is getting a release in the NES Remix series. This is being called Ultimate NES Remix. And interestingly, a Nintendo spokesperson announced after the original release, that this game, it is going to be a $30 3DS retail product, although I'm sure there will be an eShop download version as well. It's releasing on November 11th in Europe and December 5th in North America, and strangely, this game is going to include the same 16 games in the original NES Remix on Wii U, but with a twist that we haven't heard yet.
So, I wonder if it's, like, straight up, you know, like, full game crossovers. Like, oh, play as Link through the entirety of Super Mario Brothers.
That would definitely be interesting. You know, we still, again, we don't know what it is. Anything you hear otherwise is, you know, rumor and or speculation. There are definitely a lot of bitter Bettys out there who think it's just going to be straight up the original NES Remix, just for twice the price for some reason. I don't buy it. And I think we're gonna hear more pretty soon, since November 11th isn't even that far away.
Yeah.
In non-Nintendo news, we have the announcement of Icewind Dale Enhanced Edition.
What about Icewind Chip?
Oh girl. You might be familiar with the other enhanced editions from this line of games, you know, like the Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition and Baldur's Gate 2 Enhanced Edition. These all appeared on PC, Mac, iOS, and Android. And so will Icewind Dale. The purchase price is going to be $20, and though we don't yet have a release date, my understanding is that they hope to have this out sooner rather than later.
Excellent. So this is news that I'm sure Captain Spike is excited about. Capcom has a project in store to bring some of their classic fighting games back to Japanese arcades. The twist is that they will use Taito's Nesica Cross Live service to save player data, including win-loss record, point for online rankings. They will also have widescreen monitors that show the character's special attacks. The four that have been announced in development are Hyper Street Fighter 2, Darkstalkers 3, Street Fighter 3, Third Strike, and Street Fighter Alpha 3.
Excellent.
That's pretty cool, and it's sad that arcade gaming's kind of dead in America, because that would be really cool.
Well, you know, I'm really excited for the way they're approaching this, you know, with the move lists and on the sides of the screens and everything. I think this is really, really exciting, and I can't wait, you know, to see a whole new generation of Japanese arcade gamers coming up and playing these games and getting good at them, because that's going to be the lifeblood of, you know, Evo in the coming years. And I think it would be great if we could see some of these games come back to Evo. I would definitely love to watch, you know, some Street Fighter 3 Third Strike again. I think that's great. And, you know, there's always a competitive scene for that. New blood in it is only going to reinvigorate it.
Good point.
So, we also have the announcement here of Gundam Breaker 2. Gundam Breaker is the Gundam series that is sort of half Musou game, half, like, Lego game. And in Gundam Breaker 2 specifically, there will be over 100 playable Gunpla. For those of you who are not familiar with Gunpla, that is the term used for Gundam plastic models. And basically in this game, you take control of a Gundam plastic model and beat up on other Gundam plastic models to take their body parts to create your own Gundam plastic models.
So you're literally breaking Gundam. Well, it should be Gunpla Breaker, really.
Yeah, I actually very recently imported the first Gundam Breaker.
Oh, nice.
And it's so cute, and the presentation and even like the instruction manual is done in the form of like a Gundam model box.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah, it's so cute. I'm actually really impressed with Gundam Breaker. It's available on PS3 and Vita, which are also the consoles that are getting Gundam Breaker 2.
Fantastic.
And Gundam Breaker 2 will be playable at Tokyo Game Show in 2 or 3 weeks. So please look forward to it, because I think there will be a lot more information on this game coming soon. And those are very import-friendly platforms, and I would describe it as a very import-friendly game, if you're interested. Last here for our news, but certainly not least, is word that Ragnarok Odyssey Ace for the Vita and PlayStation 3 is getting a 1.10 patch/expansion pack, which is going to have all kinds of new game functions, including a boss rush mode where you can earn rare rewards, new daily quests that you can compete along with, new ranking boards that will allow you to compete with players around the world for the best scores. There's also going to be new items and rare monster cards. There's going to be new armors. So this actually sounds like a really big, ambitious expansion pack for free for Ragnarok Odyssey Ace. And this patch is available now on PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Vita.
Fantastic.
With all of that having been said,
time for some less fantastic news.
Time to walk on the dark side.
So, Silicon Era brings us the news that Capcom is suing Koei Tecmo Games due to some patent infringement, including games such as Samurai Warriors Extreme Legends and 49 other titles. They are suing for 980 million yen, which is about $9.43 million. They claim that the patent in 2002 dealt with acquiring new content by combining an existing game with another piece of software. Basically, like, expansion packs, and then being able to import that into the new version of the game. And that was the case with Samurai Warriors Extreme Legends. Also, there is a controller vibrating notification when enemy characters are nearby. And they said that that has greatly contributed to the sales of the Koei Tecmo titles.
So, you know, I have to tell you, I think this is really interesting, because I like Capcom a lot, but we've heard a lot about their financial difficulties of late. They're basing this claim on the fact that Koei Tecmo has seen a profit of about 9.73 billion yen in total sales off of this collection of games. And they want 5 to 10% in license fees for what they claim is infringement on their patent. This to me reeks of like patent trolling. This says to me that Capcom is in such financial dire straits that they must have had their lawyers look through like, oh, what patents do we own that we can make an argument someone is infringing on? Because again, you know, it doesn't, if Capcom filed this patent back in 2002, it's very suspicious that it's taken them 12 years to notice this incredibly huge genre of video game. Because keep in mind, we're basically talking about all of Koei Tecmo's Musou titles when we talk about this lawsuit. It does not make sense that Capcom today figured out, oh, for the last 12 years, these Musou games have been infringing on our patents. Like, that doesn't track. There's something dodgy here. I don't see how Capcom can possibly make a case, although obviously they wouldn't be suing if they didn't think they could win. It's very dodgy, very concerning, and it really makes me worry about Capcom's financial state, like, way more than I was before.
Yeah.
In other downer news, we also have word that Nintendo of Europe is laying off 320 employees.
Now, this includes the 130 we talked about earlier.
Back in June, yeah. It also includes 190 employees who worked in the company's Germany-based localization department. Strictly speaking, those were temps, but they had all been working exclusively for Nintendo for up to, you know, 4 or 5 years in some cases. So this really sucks. Ultimately, all 320 of these people are now out of a job as of yesterday. Just very sad. Really, really sorry to hear this. And we here at GameBuie hope that everyone lands on their feet and that they get new positions quickly. And last, but certainly not least, and I suppose there's going to be some debate over whether this is a doom and gloom or not, but Castlevania Lords of Shadow producer Dave Cox has left Konami. He posted on his Twitter, quote unquote, "After 17 years, I have decided to leave Konami to explore new opportunities. Today is my final day with the company."
Hashtag end of an era.
Hashtag end of an era. Yep. You know, obviously his first project that he worked on at all was Castlevania Symphony of the Night. He then was like a brand manager for Metal Gear Solid, Silent Hill, Pro Evolution Soccer, and Suikoden. And then ultimately, himself produced and I think did some director duties for the Lords of Shadow series of games. So.
Yeah.
Definitely. Sorry to hear it. I hope he ends up in new employment sooner rather than later. I might not like his work on Castlevania as a Castlevania game, but as I have said in the defense of Lords of Shadow many times, once you get over that, it's not a bad game. So, you know, wherever he ends up, I'm sure he's going to really contribute a lot to sort of, you know, whatever ongoing projects they have. So with that having been said, it's time for us to dive into our discussion. So why don't we talk a little bit about Penny Arcade Expo? So PAX, as we typically call it, is short for the Penny Arcade Expo. This series of conventions started in 2004. Oh, so this must have been their 10-year event.
Oh, wow.
Excellent. It's typically held in the Pacific Northwest.
Seattle.
Well, Seattle, yes. Although it looks like they've shifted around a little bit in various different parts of Washington over various years. And there's also, of course, you know, other events such as PAX East, which, you know, is why people now refer to this PAX as PAX Prime.
Right.
Because there's also PAX Dev and PAX South and PAX Australia. In any event, and, you know, obviously we have a lot of issues with PAX as an event. We've talked about that a lot here on the show. I'm not going to go into all of it. Overall, PAX was formed to be a celebration of gamer culture. They wanted to create a show that gave equal attention to console gamers, computer gamers, and tabletop and board gamers.
That's true, and I mean, when you think about the roots of PAX, it really was different at the time. This is when we were, you know, seeing E3 go through a lot of changes and be very industry-focused. So at the time, it really was kind of a healthy dose of, community-centered.
Well, absolutely. You know, it was a big deal that this was, it had a lot of, like, game culture-inspired events, panels on, like, game culture things. And in a lot of ways, and, you know, certainly I'm sure I'm going to get some hate mail for saying this, but the earliest iterations of PAX that were very focused on being independent from, like, the major media and from the major publishers, it wasn't that far removed from, like, a GamerX situation.
Well, I would say, like, you know, what we're seeing with GamerX is the natural evolution of things that started with PAX.
Well, absolutely. That's exactly my point. It is unfortunate that PAX grew so large that it did draw the toxic elements that it
grew. Yeah, and now the gamer culture it's celebrating is the type of gamer culture that's being, you know, discussed lately, but we're not going to focus on that.
No. I wanted it as a talking point because we're talking about PAX here, but ultimately the focus here isn't on the failings or successes of PAX as, you know, an institution. Although certainly if they reach another milestone, we may end up doing an episode about them and about their history, because that could be interesting.
True.
For now though, let's just talk about some of the news that came out of this
PAX news, not to be confused with Fox News.
LOL. And you know, it does need to be said that, you know, if it sounds like we're not talking about a lot here, it's because there wasn't necessarily a lot of Game Buoy news out of this event.
Yeah.
Luckily, Sony's pre-Tokyo Game Show conference was basically entirely a Game Buoy event, so
yes,
please look forward to that. In the meantime, Slaggy, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, so BioWare is kind of doing their own Fable Legends sort of thing with 4v1 competitive multiplayer, like a DM versus the players. This is called Shadow Realms. It's described as a mixture of Left 4 Dead and the Deception series by Koei Tecmo.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a huge fan of the Deception series, and I love Left 4 Dead. I think this is a great idea. And you know, they have BioWare very specifically said that this game aims to capture the unpredictable nature of a dungeon master directing a tabletop game.
Yeah, between this and Fable Legends, I'm super excited for this sort of thing. I'd love to see a very similar sort of concept be explored on Wii U. I mean, with the gamepad, it seems very natural that we would see something like this, but more Nintendo friendly, of course.
Absolutely. You know, I'm a big fan of that kind of asymmetric multiplayer. I'm obviously, you know, I've been playing pen and paper games for upwards of 20 years at this point.
Could you imagine like a new iteration of Mario RPG where the person with the gamepad plays as Bowser and then the rest of you are Mario, Luigi, Peach?
That's a bad analogy because in Mario RPG, Bowser was a party member.
Okay, but you know, still, like I said, a new iteration or new evolution of that concept.
Well, I would be really mad if a new Mario RPG came out and Bowser wasn't playable, so.
Okay, well, it wouldn't be Mario
RPG. How about like Smithy? Just pick a different Mario RPG.
Anyway, I'm just saying, I like seeing this trend. And Shadow Realms, I'm sure, is going to be great. You know, we're big fans of BioWare here at GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org. And yeah, I'm actually really, really excited for this game. I absolutely love the idea of BioWare doing a multiplayer game with a Dungeon Master aspect. I think that they're really going to nail this. I think this is the most exciting thing to come out of either of the events that we're talking about here today, if I'm being honest. So, definitely stoked there.
Yeah, in some bummer news, Mugenix has been put on hold until they kind of get some details more worked out. The problem that they explained was that they talked a lot about it in the beginning, and the game's vision has really expanded since then. So, you know, they're still going to come back to it. They'll talk more about it in the future, but right now, Team Meat's kind of, you know, putting it back into the drawing board, I guess you could say.
Absolutely. We also have here the full set list for Fantasia Music Evolved. This is, of course, still on track to come out later this year, and when you play, you will be playing such songs as... Slackick, do you want to get this started?
Sure, should I just do the ones that I'm excited about?
No, just go down the whole list.
So, Dvorak, Symphony No. 9 from the New World, Vivaldi, The Four Seasons, Winter First Movement, Avicii, Levels, Johann Sebastian Bach, Toccata and Fugue in D Minor, Bruno Mars, Locked Out of Heaven, CeeLo Green, Forget You, David Bowie, Ziggy Stardust, Depeche Mode, Enjoy the Silence, Drake, Take Care, featuring Rihanna, Elton John, Rocket Man, The Flaming Lips, Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots, Part 1, Fun, Some Nights, Gorillaz, Feel Good, Inc., Imagine Dragons, Radioactive, Enon Zur, Scout's Theme, featuring Lindsey Stirling. Isn't she that girl who plays violin on YouTube?
Maybe.
She sounds familiar. Jimi Hendrix, Fire, Kimbra, Settle Down, ooh. Lady Gaga, Applause, Yes, Gaga, List, Hungarian Rhapsody number 2, Lord Royals, M.I.A. Galang, I hope I'm saying that right, Missy Elliott, Get Your Freak On, Mursorgsky, Night on Bald Mountain, I don't know how to say his name, but Nine on Bald Mountain was originally from Original Fantasia.
Yep, keep going, girl.
New Order, Blue Monday, Nicki Minaj, Super Bass, Peter Gabriel, In Your Eyes, Police, Message in a Bottle, Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody, Tchaikovsky, The Nutcracker Medley, The Nutcracker Medley, The Who, The Real Me, White Stripes, Seven Nation Army, and Mozart, Eine Kleine Nachtmusik.
And that one right there is why I had you read that list.
And I had the same Mussorgsky, though. I noticed that there's a little bit of overlap with some Rock Band songs, but that's okay. I'm sure that that made licensing easier.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of crossover between that, Rock Band, and even Dance Central. But again, yeah. You know, for licensing purposes, I'm sure it's easiest to work that way. We already know that there are some budget issues over at Harmonix right now, so I'm not that surprised.
Yeah.
I'm just happy they were able to pull together what looks like a really cool track list.
Yeah, and if you pre-order now, you can get One Republic's Counting Stars, Avicii's Lay Me Down, and the Demi Lovato version of Let It Go, Let It Go, The Cold Never Bothered Me Anyway.
We also here have news that H1Z1, this is the MMO, like, zombie survival game, where you have to survive against the wilderness and against zombies, is going to be going into early access later this year, and that the PS4 version has been delayed a little bit while they get the sort of core mechanics of H1Z1 in place in the first place. I guess the game is in a heavy design iteration phase right now.
Great.
So, please look forward to that. We also got news here from Square Enix via their hands-off demo of Final Fantasy Type-0 that this HD port should be hitting, they had said, before next year's PAX.
Oh, good.
They also talked a little bit about how they brought this game to the current consoles, the PS4 and Xbox One, specifically to grow the Final Fantasy audience before 15 launches on those
consoles.
Yeah,
I was just going to say that this will be a nice little tidbit to tide us over until 15 comes out.
So I think it's very interesting to think about it that way, you know, that they, first off, clearly don't see Final Fantasy 15 coming out in 2015, or else, you know, Type-0 would not be coming out for it after all. But also, in addition to that, that they are starting to think about how to grow the audience to buy Final Fantasy 15. So I actually think this is a good sign both for Type-0 and for 15.
Yeah.
So, we also have an announcement that on the same day as the Saints Row re-release, we're also getting a new expansion that will also be available standalone called Saints Row Gat Out of Hell. This is, of course, a game where Johnny Gat and Kinsey from the Saints gang are brought or dragged into hell to rescue their boss, who is the President of the United States.
And that's really interesting because, you know, you usually play as the boss in the these games. So it'll be interesting to play as Johnny Gat and Kinsey.
Absolutely.
And I've seen the promotion for this on, like, sponsored posts on Twitter. And they're using, are you bad enough? Only Johnny Gat's a bad enough dude to save the president.
That is perfect.
I know, right?
Perfect. There is apparently going to be a musical number in the game. As well as that, you will be fighting in hell. there will be new superpowers, you know, since Saints Row 4 had superpowers and stuff. There will be biblical-themed curses, events based around biblical stories. There are also going to be weapons and powers that take their cues from various curses and stories, including a gun that fires a plague of locusts, a gun that fires a plague of frogs, a chair that with machine guns and rockets strapped to it called Sloth. You'll be able to get, you know, flying abilities in the form of angelic wings or demonic bat wings. So it sounds really interesting.
Yeah, but Grand Theft Auto is gritty, man. It's gritty and it's real.
Yeah, I will take Saints Row
yeah,
over
I'm just,
Grand Theft
I,
Auto.
I just wanted to point out that, I mean, if we hadn't already noticed it with Saints Row 3, how different this is from the origin of the series. Which I guess it always was a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I mean, it's really just gone full force, and I am all for it.
And last but not least, we have the official announcement of Super Meat Boy Forever. Quite a few of us had thought that Super Meat Boy Forever was going to be sort of a new Super Meat Boy game, you know, with like the intricately designed stages and platforming challenges. And we were half right. This is going to be a 2D side-scrolling endless runner for PC and tablets. That's actually something that is a little weird for this space, but it looks like It's going to be really intricately designed to still have the sort of super hardcore, challenging gameplay and level design that we're used to from the Super Meat Boy family.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really interesting combination of design elements, and I'm really excited to see how they pull it off.
Me too.
Excellent. All right, well, with all of that having been said...
Time to close the door on PAX.
Absolutely, and open the door on Sony's pre-Tokyo Game Show conference.
Well, careful when you open that door, because, you know, we've all played PT at this point, I think.
Ah, and you know, it's funny you say that, because during this event, Hideo Kojima did come out and talk about PT, and...
they showed a reel of people getting scared.
Well, they did, and in addition to that, you know, he specifically mentioned that PT has been downloaded more than 1 million times already.
He also noted that a lot of people were too scared to finish, including me.
Yeah, absolutely.
He didn't mention me. He didn't say, Slagkick from GameBuoy.org.
Oh, man, but I wish he had. But in terms of announcements, you know, there actually was some cool stuff. We're probably going to burn through this pretty quick, because a lot of this is stuff that we've talked about, you know, knowing is on the horizon, but, you know, has finally been shown or properly
And there was
announced.
A lot of, please look forward to more of this at Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah, this was very much a prelude to Tokyo Game Show, which is taking place... Was it on the 18th of this month?
I think so.
So, the first announcement was the official reveal of Disgaea 5.
Yes!
We don't know anything about the game yet, other than that Nippon Ichi's president, Sohei Nikawa, had discussed it in an interview with Silicon Era last year, saying that they had hoped that the next game in the Disgaea series would have a story that could be enjoyed by a wider user base, because they specifically hoped to expand the series' appeal and reach a broader audience.
Yeah. I guess Disgaea does have a very particular audience of geeks.
Yeah, those of us that really like to have to use spreadsheets to figure out stats and stat growth.
Yeah.
I do it, though. I love that.
So, we got a little teaser when Spectrumsoft was showing off some of their games, including the next Danganronpa game, that they are working on a new Way of the Samurai game for PlayStation Vita.
That's excellent. You know, I like the Way of the Samurai series a fair bit, and to see it coming back is going to be great. Little surprised it's going to be on Vita, but hey, I'll take what I can get.
Also on Vita, announced by Marvelous, is Luminous Arc Infinity.
Yes!
It has something to do with music and the world learning about the truth.
You know, this is a spin-off of an old DS game, Luminous Arc.
Oh, yeah.
And I was a big fan of that game, so I'm very excited to see what happens here with this new iteration. There was also the announcement of a new Hot Shots Golf project. I don't know that they gave it an official name other than referring to it in the new Everybody's Golf series as Hot Shots Golf is known.
They called
in
it the new Mingol project.
But it's going to be very social focused. And it also seemed during the press event that they were talking about how there was going to be some amount of, like, world-building functions and stuff.
Yeah, like, oh, you can build your little country club and etc. We don't quite know yet.
But that's exciting. We also got a Japanese release date for Bloodborne. This is, of course, a follow-up to the From Software and Sony collaboration Demon's Souls.
Yes.
Bloodborne is going to be hitting Japan on February 5th.
Spoopy.
Of course, you know, a game like this does not generally have a lot of lag between releases in various regions, so I would expect a quarter one release to North America and Europe as well.
Fantastic. During Capcom's little sizzle reel, this was not a sizzle, this was an official announcement of Resident Evil Revelations 2. They talked about how well-received Revelations 1 was, you know, conveniently not mentioning that it started out as a 3DS title, but one thing that they did point out is that there will be a new setting and new protagonists that will not be featuring Jill and Chris.
And something that's interesting to me about that is that a lot of people have been saying that the next Resident Evil, at the time people were calling it 7, but there were like leaks and stuff indicating that it was going to be a new start for the franchise, almost like a soft reboot. And based on what they were saying about Revelations 2 last night, I almost wonder if this isn't that project.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what RE7's gonna be, though.
Well, or even if, you know, they will even do an RE7. I feel like this probably... Because the thing is, Revelations 2 is gonna be releasing in early 2015 for PC, 360, Xbox One, PlayStation 3, and PlayStation 4. If this game is far enough along already that it's gonna be coming out in the next 6 months, Like, that's, to me, a game that's already had a lot of work put into it. I almost feel like this could be the next proper full Resident Evil game, and they've just rebranded it to sort of get away from sort of what the classic series had become.
Yeah.
Chris punching boulders and all that.
Although there is a place.
Oh, there definitely is. And, you know, we've talked here on the show about how Resident Evil 5 was one of the most profitable Resident Evils of all. One of the most profitable games in Capcom's stable.
Yeah.
But anyway, we also got the announcement of God Eater 2 Rage Burst for the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita.
Yep, that was during Bandai Namco's little presentation.
And speaking of Bandai Namco, they also announced that they are working on a Mobile Suit Gundam game for PlayStation 4.
They are.
However, it won't be available for release until 2015, so don't expect news on that anytime super, super soon.
True.
They also briefly focused on Dragon Ball Xenoverse and One Piece Musou 3, both of which are going to have PlayStation 4 releases.
Yeah. Falcom showed a little trailer, which turned out to be a new East title. It's going to be sometime in 2015 for PS4 and Vita.
That's exciting. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of games get dual releases for PS4 and Vita. It's very interesting.
Marvelous also showed a little trailer for Senran Kagura Vestival Versus.
Yeah, that's really exciting to me. You know, this game has been being teased for a while now, but it's, you know, already scheduled for release on PlayStation 4 on March 26th, 2015. We don't know much about the game, but it had been previously mentioned that it was going to be connected to Senran Kagura Shinobi Versus, and they had previously mentioned it would be a multi-platform release. In fact, apparently this morning after the event, Marvelous confirmed online that there will be a Vita version.
Yeah. So we'll see if there's, if it's, you know, fan service focused or if they try to tone it down a little bit, but.
We also have news here that Compile Heart is going to be releasing Fairy Fencer F Advent Dark Force for
That's
the It sure is. For the PlayStation 4. Of course, this doesn't mean a whole lot to us yet, but we here in North America are going to be getting Fairy Fencer F for PlayStation 3 later this month. So
yeah.
Please look forward to it, and that way we can be excited for the next one.
We got an announcement from Koei Tecmo that Dead or Alive 5 Last Round is in development for PS3, PS4, Xbox One, and Xbox 360. Now, did they mention? No, I guess it says it in the trailer, but, you know, their focus last night was for Sony. And through the trailer, we saw that Marie Rose, Neo Tengu, and other fighters like Akira, Sarah, Pai, and Jackie from Virtua Fighter are shown in there, so.
Excellent. So this will have the original Dead or Alive 5's DLC characters and the guest characters featured.
Yeah.
That's great. This will be released in spring 2015 in Japan.
Yeah. We had talked about the Resident Evil remake for GameCube HD Remaster called Resident Evil HD Remaster. They showed a bit of it during Capcom's time on the stage. It looked like an HD remaster of the GameCube game, basically. The big announcement was that professional Japanese voiceovers will be part of this, as well as for the Western release, there will also be professional voiceovers, which I kind of thought was a little insulting to the original voice actors.
I appreciate what you mean, but you saying that tells me you're not aware of what the voice acting in the original Resident Evil was like.
No, I mean, I played... Oh, wait, no, I played 4 mostly, yeah, so.
Yeah, that explains it. We don't yet know anything more of a release window here other than early 2015.
And speaking of 2015, but not knowing any other release
windows,
but super exciting news, we got a teaser trailer, like quite a bit more than we've seen to date, of Persona 5. And the big news is that it will also be available on PS4. Yes. So, I mean, we got a good look at the protagonist. It was like a dark-haired individual. And
a cute boy with glasses.
Well, we don't know what their gender is.
That's true. That
and,
is
you know,
true.
Especially with the gender themes explored in Persona 4, we can hope for, you know, a variety of gender and sexual diversity in Persona 5. But
I would like that.
They showed,
but...
what appeared to be a kind of a bishi... Not really, he wasn't really a bishi boy. He was more of kind of like, looked like a loner boy, didn't he?
Yeah.
He had black hair, and they were like in a subway in the busy city streets, and it was just, you know, gorgeous animation. You can watch the trailer over on Silicon Era. We'll post the link over at GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org.
But yeah, very, very excited. I want it to be next year. This is basically going to be like Decade of Atlas.
Yeah, dude, seriously.
Like, how many years have we said Year of Atlas?
It's been a long time now. And, you know, it has to be said, I've seen a lot of speculation so far about what the game is about. I've watched the trailer a couple of times. I assume other people have been doing the same.
Yeah, you know, they said about being freed from the shackles that society binds us with. And then they showed, like, a little ball and chain being shattered in, like, when they showed the logo. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I think that 2015, we're going to have to do a Persona episode, definitely.
Yeah. You know, I had wanted to do that this year, but with Persona 5 being pushed to next year, maybe we'll push our Persona retro back a little.
I think so, yeah.
But in that case, it does open us up for that Silent Hill episode I really wanted to do.
Yeah. So,
well, we'll see what's up here. In any event, our last, but also possibly most awesome news from the Sony pre-Tokyo Game Show conference was the announcement of the new action RPG, Dragon Quest Heroes, for PlayStation 4 and PS3.
Yeah.
This is, as far as we can tell, going to be a Musou-style game.
Yeah, Omega Force is working on it.
Exactly. Featuring new original characters, as well as returning characters from previous games, such as Terry from Dragon Quest VI, and Mina from Dragon Quest IV. The trailer that they showed looked really cool. Sony has said today, you know, and Square Enix, they have said that it's not a Musou game in the strictest sense. But, you know, with Omega Force working on it and, you know, just watching the trailer, there are clearly Musou elements. Either way, I'm really excited to see whatever form this game takes. Hopefully, it is going to release in North America, but we haven't heard anything yet. We've only known the game existed for the last 12 hours.
Yeah.
All right, well, that with that having been said, Slaggy, what did you think about the pre-Tokyo Game Show Sony conference?
It was very much a Game Buoy conference. I was surprised to see how much we'd already talked about. So I was expecting more bombshells, but, you know, the bombshells we did get, Disgaea 5, Persona 5 in particular, I was very happy for. And just the fact that they said that... didn't they say that the Vita library, they have 100 games coming over the next year, and it'll be a 600 game library after that point?
They did, although that also makes me think that they're including PSP games in that count.
That's true.
LOL.
And you know, something that they didn't talk about, but that I had read over the past week or so, I don't remember exactly when it was, that Japanese PS Plus subscribers are getting a bunch of PSP titles, so.
They actually talked about that last night. Like,
or did they?
During that conference. And what it is basically is that, you know, for the PSP UMD passport program that they've been doing in Japan, you would have to give them, like, a photograph of your UMD and pay them money to download the new game. But it would be a huge discount, like a proof of purchase, and then you could buy the game at a huge discount as a download version. Mm-hmm. The new way that they're going to do it is that you have to do the proof of purchase still, but then you get the game free.
Nice.
So if I had a proof of purchase for, let's just say, Crisis Core, then I would be able to redeem it now and just download the game free, rather than the old way where it would be give them proof of purchase and then pay $9.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's actually, I think, a huge benefit to Japanese PlayStation Plus users. I doubt we will ever get any kind of equivalent outside of
American
Japan.
Gamers would abuse the hell out of that.
Unfortunately, they would.
I just photoshopped this game cart into my hand.
LOL, but sad but true. All right, well, you know, with all that having been said, I'm happy to have heard your opinion. I was overall happy. You know, Disgaea is huge for me. One Piece Musou is huge for me. The potential Dragon Quest Musou game is huge to me. And even the Resident Evil stuff is exciting, so... I'm stoked and, you know, I'm really happy.
Yeah, the Resident Evil Revelations 2 trailer looked really spoopy. There was, like, someone walking through a, like, kind of like a fancy ballroom-looking setting of zombie dead people. And then, like, as they walked by, you would saw, like, a zombie granny-looking lady, like, right in the camera. It was spoopy as hell.
All right, well, with all of that having been discussed, I think it's time to talk off the record about a little bit of...
Rumor has it. Rumor has it. Rumor has it. Rumor has it.
All right, first up here, we have word of a rumor we actually knew about before we recorded our last episode. We didn't talk about it then because we weren't convinced of the legitimacy of this quote-unquote leak, but ultimately, now that, you know, there has been an announcement from this leak made officially, we've had to sort of take a second look at this leak, and I'm going to report it to you guys, even though I do have a little bit of reservation even still. And basically, the leak, which originated on 4chan, claimed that Shulk from Xenoblade was going to be a playable character in Smash Brothers. This leak also identified the dog from Duck Hunt, just called Duck Hunt in this leak, Bowser Jr., and Dark Pit as the other playable newcomers in Smash Brothers for 3DS and Wii U. The leak also showed that Falco and Ness would be returning to the new game. The leaker did have some video, including playable footage of Shulk from Xenoblade and Bowser Jr. So, since the gameplay of Shulk from Xenoblade on this quote-unquote leaked video does match Shulk's gameplay from the official announcement, it does seem that at least the leaked videos were true. So I would also expect Bowser Jr. I do still have some concerns that no video has popped up of the dog from Duck Hunt, who again is apparently just called Duck Hunt.
That sounds shady.
And Dark Pit, we don't have video of this stuff. Certainly I want to believe because, these would be some cool, interesting picks. But I'm just very hard for me to fall for Smash rumors if they don't have, real concrete, video evidence. And this go around, with how editable Smash Brawl has become with, the Project M stuff and everything, it would be really easy to fake footage for a potential leak, which is what I thought the Shulk footage was in the first place, because I actually thought he looked like a really slow, cumbersome character. But it has been confirmed in the official reveal trailer that Shulk has a mechanic where you can change his attributes using the Monado Blade. So it makes sense that, that slow, jerky footage in the leaked video was from his, armored form or whatever. So, alright, I guess I'll buy it, and, it would be cool if the dog from Duck Hunt is playable, and if Dark Pit is playable. So, fingers crossed. Hopefully this is real. Either way, we're going to know for sure in 12 days now when the 3DS release happens in Japan.
Yeah. And, I looked up the Duck Hunt dog. He has never been named.
I'm not that surprised to hear that, but I feel like this would be the point where he would get a name.
I vote for Smugly.
Smugly. Yeah, he should be called Smugly. You're right. Per a rating from the Peggy board, we have word that Shinen Multimedia's Nano Assault Neo X has a release coming up for the PlayStation 4.
Huh.
You might be familiar with this title on the 3DS or Wii U as Nano Assault Neo and Nano Assault EX, respectively. And something I want to point out on this joystick article about this game is that beautiful screenshot actually comes from the Wii U version.
Oh, wow.
Those guys over at Shinen are absolute geniuses, technically, and I'm really, really stoked to see what they can do with hardware as beefy as the PlayStation 4. Because, man, they made the Wii U and the 3DS sing. So I'm stoked to see what they can do with the beefiest hardware on the market. With all that having been said, oh my gosh, I just realized that during that whole press conference discussion, we didn't mention that Namco Bandai's Harada-san is working on a virtual reality schoolgirl conversation sim.
Oh yeah.
The game is exactly what you would expect. You are in virtual reality in a teenage schoolgirl's bedroom talking to her about school. And you can interact with her by shaking your head no or nodding yes. I guess please look forward to it. And before we get on to sort of the ending of the show, we do have a Smash article this week. This is, surprisingly, coming out of Kotaku, and this article is called 8 Big Final Fantasy Type-0 HD Questions Answered.
Girl, you don't have to say surprisingly anymore. They've redeemed themselves.
Honestly, you're right. I apologize, Kotaku. I'm sorry for saying surprising. You guys have actually been really great of late. But the reason why I'm picking this article is specifically because the questions that Jason Schreier asked at the, I guess, the PAX panel. Because he mentions it's in Seattle at a hands-off presentation in QA with Hajime Tabata-san, who was the producer for this game. He basically did not pull any punches. He asked when it was coming out and why. He asked why it was coming out to Xbox One and PS4, but not 360, PS3, and Vita, because, the game was originally coming out on Vita. It was even announced for Vita before it was, canceled 20 minutes later. You know, he asked straight up if it was true that the game was going to be released here, but was canceled because of the PSP's performance. Which surprisingly, Square was very candid and confirmed that, you know, everything we heard was true. The game was basically done, but they held off on release because they didn't think it could possibly be profitable at that point. They talk a little bit about the release of Final Fantasy XV. So, again, I was really shocked to see not just Kotaku, but any of the major gaming websites asking, like, real hard-hitting questions of Square Enix, because, you know, not only do these interviews typically go really light and fluffy, but especially with Square Enix, there's usually a lot of, like, no comment, or we can't confirm that at this time. But Kotaku managed to ask great questions and get great answers. So
my favorite one is when they asked about the difference between Type 0 and 15, and that 15, that Type 0 is more like a war movie, and 15's a road trip that focuses on brotherhood.
That is right up your wheelhouse, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of basically the movie The Sweetest Thing.
Ah! Well, when you put it like that, it makes me
You're
want to play 15.
Too big to fit in here.
Okay, anyway. With all of our news having been covered, let's start up the wind down with...
I said, hey, what's going on?
So, Captain Spike, what you been playing?
Borderlands 2.
No, you haven't.
No, I've been putting a lot of time
You've been playing it on the Vita in the Borderlands 2 player.
Oh, gosh. No, I played a lot of Azure Striker Gunvolt.
Yeah, you ditched me to go play it.
Oh, you bitch. No, I didn't. But yeah, no, it's great. You know, the game is actually a lot like the Game Boy Advance and Nintendo DS releases of the Mega Man Zero and Mega Man ZX and Mega Man ZX Advent series.
Interesting.
There's a real focus on, like, these big labyrinthine sort of level designs. There's a real focus on, like, forward momentum and always moving. There's a lot of focus on, like, score attack and time attack, with every level having all kinds of, like, mini achievements that the game rewards you with in-game boosts and equipment for
doing.
The
music sounded great.
The music is superb, yeah. So it's just altogether a real solid package. It's not for everyone. Like Slykick, you, no offense, I don't think you'd get a lot out of it, because the real focus isn't on just playing through the game. The focus is on, like, playing through the game repeatedly to learn how to, like, perform your very possible best. Like, there's definitely a real focus on, like, replay the same stage 7 or 8 times to learn how to do it the most efficiently. It's made for people who like to play Mega Man games, doing things like getting through Quick Man's stage without Flash Man's ability or something. So,
I see.
If you're one of those kinds of gamers, absolutely run to Gunvolt.
And
if you're not, you know.
Now, NT Creates really kind of cut their teeth on the Zero and ZX games, right?
That is absolutely true, you know, and those experiences led them to make Mega Man 9 and Mega Man 10. It's a big part of why now they're working on, you know, Shantae HD. They're working on Mighty No. 9. They did, you know, Gunvolt just now. They did Mighty Gunvolt. They really are one of the best studios now, one of the best Japanese studios now, for 2D level design and game design in a lot of ways, I think.
Yeah.
You know, also played a lot of Mario Kart 8. My interest in the game was sort of revitalized with the DLC announcement last week, and I've actually really enjoyed coming back to it. You know, I really do stand by my earlier statements that I think this is the best Mario Kart game.
Yep.
And with all this new content, I think that is just further cemented.
I agree.
I'm going to let you talk about what you're playing, because I feel like it's something I've also played, but you probably have more to say. So
yeah,
what have
well,
you
I want to start off with Mario Kart 8. I played a little bit with you while we were here preparing for SS Game Buoy, and I got hands-on with the Mercedes cars. Their handling is really good. The top speed is okay. The acceleration is poor, though. So you have to really be able to quickly recover from catastrophe if you're going to use the Mercedes. But I also played a little bit as alternate colored Yoshi and Shy Guy, which really didn't, you know, affect the gameplay other than, oh, cool, I'm racing as a Shy Guy who's wearing black armor. I guess you'd call it armor, huh? What does a Shy Guy look like under all its clothes?
I don't actually know.
What if it was Kirby?
That would be adorable.
Game changer.
What else
also,
have you been
I've been continuing to play a lot of World of Warcraft.
Me too.
We did some looking for a raid. I helped a friend get their Alliance chopper made, not the new one that was from the Azeroth chopper thing, but the old one from the engineering mount. So I had to go and kind of grind some reputation on my engineer, but it was worth it because I got to help a friend make a motorcycle, and once I save up about 10,000 gold, I'll be able to make one too.
Excellent.
I've been working on my hunter a little bit. He's got his professions all maxed out, and he's actually very close to 90, and I feel like if we hadn't been doing a lot of stuff on, you know, well, if I hadn't been doing a lot of stuff on my paladin with you, that he would probably be 90 at this point, but my paladin is my priority, so.
All right, excellent. Well, is there anything else, or is it time for them social links?
It's time for the social links, and I want to start out, on Facebook, where we got a comment from Daniel T., in regards to our episode 61 about Gamescom 2014. Daniel said, loved it. Now to play more Curtain Call. Final Fantasy Mystic Quest FTW.
Ah, you and I both, man.
Yeah, Daniel T. has exquisite taste in pretty much everything.
Girl! Also, Daniel T., you should message me your Japanese 3DS's friend code, and I'll give you my Japanese 3DS's friend
now
code.
Now I want a Japanese 3DS.
Then get one. Jeez.
Anyway, over on Twitter, FiDelt61, better known as Matt from Horde House and the
Better known as Grandpa.
Better known as Grandpa and also from the Starboard Power Coupling podcast, says we should have a cross-show collab soon. Is that your way of saying that you want to go out for drinks?
Knowing him, it probably is, but maybe he wants to come on Game Buoy and talk about, I don't know, I don't even know what kinds of games he plays that aren't WoW.
He doesn't play WoW.
He used to.
I know.
He played WoW for a long time, way after you quit.
No, I know, but nobody on Horde House plays WoW anymore. That's not criticism. Just saying. Crystal Ideas, when we posted our episode, said, yay! And tomorrow is the day I can listen to it at work.
Woohoo! I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoy this episode when you see it, or hear it, lol.
We also got a tweet from Your Enzyme saying, I love you guys. Aww. We love you too. You Me Games said, I'm getting more and more convinced. Spike Point and Slagkick for Presidents of Gaming. Hashtag good guys. Aww. So now I just feel like really full of love. And speaking of love, we love your feedback.
We sure do.
We like your iTunes subscriptions, ratings, and reviews.
Damn yes.
We like your Facebook likes. We fucking love Twitter.
We effing love Twitter.
Just say fucking. We're tagged as NSFW.
No, I'm trying to work on it and use effing instead of actually saying
the word. Oh, so you're really trying to go for the Babby Booey angle then?
Girl, I'm trying to have a show that our listeners can listen to where they don't have to worry about getting in trouble at work.
We frack. Love Twitter. We like when you tumble with us on Tumblr. You
Tumbles.
Can plus one us on Google Plus.
Plus one.
You can email us at mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
Mail us at
mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org. Mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
Mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
And everything is always available at gamebuoy.org.
Gamebuoy.org.
Including our incomplete episode archive and all of that sort of thing. With that, we'd like to shout out to those of you who, without you, we probably wouldn't be podcasting, aside from our lovely listeners who maybe aren't podcasters. So let's do
that your flowery way of saying let's do our shout outs?
Yeah.
As ever and always, I want to shout out to Koopa Club. Koopa Club is an award-winning podcast about Nintendo and gaming with an LGBT twist.
What award did they win?
I believe it was an award from their moms.
Aww.
Right? Probably telling each one of them that they are the most special kid. That is Koopa with a Q and Club with a K. We also, of course, want to mention VG Realness, serving up a weekly dose of gaming chit-chat among friends. I'd also be remiss not to mention the Game Over Takeover, your one-stop shop to go to for geekery galore. I must mention Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice, and from whom I've stolen ever so many of my cues.
Careful, Rob's going to come at us with one of those Capcom-style lawsuits.
Ah, right. He wants a 5%.
I filed his patent back in 2002 with OLR.
Right. He wants a 10% royalty payment, and we'll just give him a bill for all the money we spend on this show. We also, of course, want to mention the Nintendo Fun Club, where you'll find platformers, positivity, and pop punk.
I'm into all three of those things.
Dude, right? In non-gaming podcast news, of course, I want to mention the Reading is Fundamental podcast. That
yes,
is
God.
That is Slapkick's show about RuPaul's Drag Race, on which I also am a host, as is Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, Horde House Family, and Delvin from VG Realness. We're sort of on hiatus between seasons right now, but we do have an archive of episodes that you could go to and enjoy right now. I also want to mention the Starboard Power Coupling podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail, and X Nation over at culturalwormhole.blogspot.com, an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants. Slaggy McWaggy.
Oh, I thought you were going to take us to a game bar.
I want to take you to a game bar.
Game Bar is the podcast that fills your brain space with hours of gay video game commentary. They're a part of the Hunty Bunch and basically the gay video game Prairie Home Companion. Nerdgasm Network is the wildest shock jock video game radio show you'll ever come across. It's a bag of hot dicks. Over on the Voice of Geeks Network, that's vognetwork.com, along with such great shows as OLR and the Starboard Power Coupling Podcast. You can also tune into Horde House, the place for all things online gaming, but never too seriously, and Girls Gone WoW, where you can get a female perspective on the world's most popular MMO. And last but certainly not least, I'd like to shout out to our friends at La Palanca Podcast, podcast por y para gay gamers latinoamericanos en español. As ever and always, I want to recognize that our wonderful theme music was done by Zelda Reorchestrated, which was the project that aimed to reorchestrate Zelda music in beautiful symphonic sound, forever pouring out a 40 for them. With that, thank you for listening. We love you.
Thank you guys so much for spending this lovely Monday afternoon with us. Hopefully you've had a very nice Labor Day.
Yeah, we've got a turbo duo of console-related episodes coming up.
We sure do.
But not about the turbo duo, I'm sorry.
I would expect a very interesting episode to hit on 9-9. And, of course, episode 64 is going to be pretty interesting. And after that, of course, we're going to be looking at Tokyo Game Show itself. So, please enjoy the bevy of content we have coming up for you guys. But until then, of course, thank you for spending your day with us. We've enjoyed talking to you. Keep gaming. Keep thinking. And,
Masukaredo Kamen Budokai.
Masquerade Mask, Tuxedo Common, DBZ Budokai.
Mics are hot.
Hot mics, hot mics. Get your hot mics. The convention is meant to be a safe place. The convention's meant to be a safe space. The convention's...
Cool-ass pimp-looking device.
You'd be proud to pull it off on the train. You'd be proud to pull it out on the train and show off.
Girl.
Also, for North America, we are getting some 2DS Mario Kart 7 bundles.
There was another...
So, now I just feel like really full of love.
And shit.
Excuse me.
Bloodborne, of course, is the From Software and Blah, blah, blah. We also, of course, in non-gaming... Oh, now.